with Brandon Sanderson at the Utopel Festival. Hello.
Hello.
What do you think about the theme of the Utopel this year, which is frontiers?
I think it's a very interesting theme in regards to science fiction and fantasy, because science fiction and fantasy is all about frontiers. The genre began where we looked at new frontiers, whether it be Jules Verne and Underneath the Ocean, whether we be traveling into space, or we have fantasies where we are exploring unknown worlds and experiencing unknown things. And so, even still, what makes these genres unique is the concept of frontiers, and each book that we open is a new frontier for us as readers.
We're here to celebrate the Mistborn trilogy. The second book is out in France. We'd like to know if it was really important to you to change the classic period of fantasy by using 1820 history.
Yes, it was. It's something I've wanted to do for many years, before I got published, was I love fantasy. I think it is a fantastic genre, capable of many things. And I worry that fantasy has allowed itself to become too stereotyped. Of course, there are wonderful medieval stories even still being written, but if we write only those, we are not showing what the genre can do, and I feel it can go very many places that it has not gone before. I am personally more interested in these more newer eras, because these newer eras have the fascinating aspects of science clashing with superstition, and they have the fascinating aspects of industrialization versus the individual and versus society and all of these things, which we can do lots of interesting things with when we are writing science fiction and fantasy. And we see steampunk as an entire subgenre growing out of these concepts, and that's a hybrid genre. I feel that fantasy can do a lot more than it has done for exploring these themes.
Do you think in first of the world, the period, and after you settle your characters? Or do you have an idea of a story and then you settle the places and the dates?
That is an excellent question. It is very different for each book that I write. As a writer, the way I get ideas, this is just my process personally, I am always looking for good ideas, and they strike me at different times, different places. When I have these ideas, I type them out in my phone into my file. That's my version of a notebook, and I keep them in my head. And those ideas bounce around in my head for often many years before they come to fruit. And it really, I know I have a story when these ideas start to blend together to make a book. And often you'll have two ideas that are interesting, but together they will be way more interesting than either of them were apart. And some of those ideas are characters, some of those ideas are plot, and some of those ideas are setting. For instance, in the Mistborn books, we have two big magic systems. One is called Allomancy, and one is called Ferrochemy. Both of those grew independently from one another. Ferrochemy, which is talked about a lot more in the second book, is a magic that actually grew out of my desire when I was a teenager that I wished I could store up sleep. I don't know if you've ever felt this, but I was an insomniac. I still am. So I would go to school during the day and feel exhausted and wish I could be sleeping. And then at night would go home and go to bed and would be wide awake and wouldn't be able to sleep. And I just wish that I had some sort of device that let me take all of the sleepiness that I had during the day and put it in this device, and then when I wanted to go to bed at night, be able to push the button and draw it all out and fall asleep. And I daydreamed about this. Well, that, you know, stayed in my head for years until later I was developing this world and I was building the magic systems, and I devised a magic system in which you can put things into bits of metal like batteries and draw them forth out. You can put your wakefulness, your sleepiness in, or you can put your strength in and be weak for, you know, spend a day being twice as weak as normal, and then the next day you can draw out and be twice or, well, 1.5 times as strong as normal. And this allowed me to have a very fascinating magic system where you pay for your later powers in the now. But that idea came years ago, and you could say that's the first idea for Mistborn, because I had it in high school. But the characters and the plot also grew independently.
And you know at the very beginning that you was doing a trilogy?
Yes, I did. I actually wrote the Mistborn trilogy. I plotted it out as three books completely before I started writing. And then I wrote all three books in a row, and all three of them were finished before I actually released the first one in stores in English. And so I wanted them to be very cohesive, and I wanted the things in the third one to build upon what was in the first, and hints in the first one hint at what happens in the third. And so there's actually a clue in the very first paragraph that leads to the secret that is the climax in the ending of the third book. And I like to be able to do these sorts of things, so I did plan it all out ahead of time.
Do you have any spaces or things, themes, that you really wish to explore and you haven't explored yet in a book?
Yes and no at the same time. I don't generally go into books with an agenda. I let theme grow on its own, and I will nurture it when I find it in a book, but theme grows out of what the characters are interested in and what I am interested in at the time. And so there are no big themes that I haven't explored, because if I'm passionate about something, it will come out in my writing naturally. At the same time, I'm fascinated by a lot of different things, and there are stories that I've reserved that I haven't told yet that I want to tell. So yes, there are things that I'm saving. There are themes that I'm saving, but at the same time, I let those things generally grow organically. So who knows when I actually sit down to write those stories, if the themes that I'm thinking of will end up being in the book.
Is there a character in any of your book that you really prefer before the others?
That's a little bit like asking a parent who their favorite child is. Very careful readers of my books have noticed, and this is not very obvious yet in my French novels, since there are only three epic fantasies published and then two of my children's novels, which are separate. But in my epic fantasies, there is actually, even though they are set in different worlds, a continuing character who shows up in Elantris and in Mistborn and in Warbreaker and in The Way of Kings. And this is a character I've been planning for many years, since I was very young. And so this is probably my favorite character, but the character is hidden. You won't notice the character unless you're paying very close attention, because there is actually an overarching story for the entire sequence of my epic fantasy novels that isn't immediately obvious. You guys know that, right? Yeah.
Is there really pleasant to write for children and to write for adults? What is really the difference for you in your work?
That's another excellent question. It is very pleasant to write for both audiences, because there is a lot of, it allows me a lot of versatility. I can do different things for children than I can do for adults, and I've always wanted to do both. In fact, you'll notice that, very soon after I was publishing for adults, I started publishing for children as well. And the adult books allow me to be very intricate and complex. I will plan and plot these for many years before I write them, and we will have a lot of deep characters that and I really can dig in and deal with complex issues. The children's books, of course, still have interesting, hopefully fun to read, complex issues, but really in those, I am looking to have fun and to be spontaneous. So you pick up the books and just have a pleasant, enjoyable time. And they do different things. I think the very best entertainment for children is also for adults. If you look at things like the Pixar movies, which are amazing and brilliant, wonderfully done, and are for all audiences, and I think a good children's book is like that too. But they also can be more silly at the same time, and there's a certain level of zaniness that you can do in a children's book that you can't do in an adult book. At the same time, there's a level of complexity that you can do in a book that is 1,000 pages long that you can't do in a 200-page children's novel.
And is it possible to do a movie with one of your adult books, as they're so huge?
It would be difficult because they have to be would have to be carefully edited. We are trying to do a movie for Mistborn, but the first screenplay was something like 280 pages long, which for a screenplay, screenplays really need to be about 100 pages. So that was way too long, and so the screenplay is still in development. We are hoping to be able to make a movie of it. I think it will work, but it is going to be more of a challenge than my children's books. My children's books, we have a film being made by DreamWorks Animation, and it's the scope makes it easier to approach in a film version.
You said that there is always something behind the reading. You've got a huge universe behind, and you use a lot of science stuff inside. I mean, when you talk about maps yesterday, you said for one continent it was a fractal before. You use always this kind of thing. I mean, when you see, when you read, we can see something, but you've got for yourself another idea behind.
Yes, usually. This partially grew out of my early days as a writer. When I first got into this business and tried to become a writer, I was told, and it was actually very good advice, that it was difficult to sell a big series as a new writer. And generally, as a new writer, you wanted to focus on standalones or the first in a series, but not write the rest of the series until a publisher had said, yes, we want to publish it. That's, of course, not the only way to do it, and there are many who have done it different ways, but it was very good advice for me. And so I spent many years writing only standalones or first in a series books. But my true love is the big, deep epic that spans many generations even, and many, just a lot of things going on. And so I began building these standalone epic fantasies as part of a hidden series in which there were characters that were continuing between the books, but you didn't see them immediately, and in which there was a fundamental law of magic that could be explored. In science, we talk often about everyone wanting to discover the unifying theory of physics, the one theory that will explain all interactions in the universe. And, you know, special relativity came the closest we've been able to get so far, but there are lots of other things, you know, string theory and whatnot, where people are trying to figure out a way to unify all of mathematics and science. I conceived a unifying theory of magic in my worlds, which these laws would be fundamental to all of the magic systems for all of my books, and yet would manifest in very different and interesting ways depending on the world you went to. And I liked this because it added a cohesion to my books. Even though we might be jumping to a new world, there would be some things that would resonate and seem a little bit familiar as you read this new story. And the more you read, the more the hidden story would make sense. And that was done, as you noted, because it was mostly for me at that point. I didn't know that any of these books would ever get published. I wasn't, you know, I was a new writer. I actually wrote 13 novels before I sold one. And so it was done mostly for me. I like this underlying logic and fundamental logic, and it's what I like to do.
So you write first for yourself?
Yes, I really do think that every writer should write first for themselves, because this is what I discovered in the years right before I got published, is that if you're writing for yourself, then not publishing is not a failure. That's a weird, twisted sentence, but what it means is, if as long as you are writing books that you enjoy and that you love, then you are successful in what you're doing, regardless of whether you find external validation or not. I mean, I realized that I would continue writing books for years, even if I never had any publication success, because it was fundamental to who I was. And I suggest that to all writers. Write books that you would love to read, and then worry about finding a place to sell them or publish them.
Would you write some short stories or another novel about the Mistborn trilogy?
Yes, I started writing a short story for the Mistborn trilogy just a little while ago, but it grew bigger than I had anticipated, and it's actually turned into a novel. I'm not very good at short things. I have done a couple of shorter stories, but they are still novellas. They are still very long, and so this one was originally going to be a novella, but now it's a full novel. The Mistborn books I actually imagined as a large continuum of novels, where different novels set in different time periods in the world. I had never seen anyone, I'm sure it's been done, but I had never seen it, take a fantasy world and then jump forward several hundred years and do a science fiction story set in that same fantasy world with the same magic and things like this, and I wanted to do that. So I originally imagined Mistborn as three trilogies together, and then maybe some short stories or shorter novels in between them. And that's, I'm doing one of the shorter novels now. I haven't started the second trilogy. This is just a standalone novel set in between, along that continuum.
Where did you get the idea in this trilogy about this kind of magic that you eat metal, like metabolism? It's something that really intrigued me.
It came from my studies in science. With the books that I'm writing, I always want the magic to feel slightly magical and slightly scientific. And this is one of the things that I do, and it has to do with that fundamental laws, those fundamental laws of magic I have determined. And with Mistborn, allomancy is the prime magic, and you see it a lot in the first book. You see it through all three of them. And in this one, it was really a blend between my studies in alchemy and my studies in science, where I was reading about metabolism. And I want magic systems that feel natural. When you first say it, eating metal and burning it inside of you sounds bizarre. It makes no sense. But when you actually read it in the book, there is something about it that just makes sort of instinctive sense. And that's because we eat food and metabolize it. It's how we get our energy. So the actual concept of eating something and metabolizing it makes sense to us, and it's why things like magic potions make sense to us, even though they're, you know, complete superstition, because that is a natural process to us. And so allomancy grew out of that, mixed with some alchemical studies, and finally mixing with my desire to tell a story about a gang of thieves, and I developed powers that would augment what a thieving crew would want to do.
Why did you want it to do a hint story with thieves? High story, sorry.
I've always loved them. One of my favorite films of all time is the film Sneakers, which if no one has seen, if you haven't seen it, is fantastic. It's a wonderful film. But even more modern ones like Ocean's 11 and classics like The Sting or like Mission Impossible, the television show and things like this, I love that type of story because of the group interaction. Instead of being about one star, you get a colorful cast of characters who each have their own specialties and can add something to a story. And I like how these stories blend together to have each all these different people working together. And so I had wanted to do a story like that for a long time, and I hadn't seen for a while one done in a fantasy novel. I have seen great ones done in fantasy, but it had been a little while, so I felt that I wanted to take a stab at it myself and blend the epic fantasy genre with the heist genre and see what kind of story I could tell.
Is it more interesting to create the characters with heist story?
It's just different. I wouldn't say it's more interesting. It's just different. In a heist story like this, you generally want a large crew whose different personalities play off of one another, which allows for a lot of fun, good banter, good dialogue, good discussion, which can be very fun. But there are other types of stories to be told that I've enjoyed telling. So it depends on what my mood is.
What is really strong in these books is the melt of romance, action, science, and magics. Do you try to mix everything and to try to give the most elements possible to the reader?
Yes, I do. In fact, I think a problem that new writers have sometimes is that they don't put enough into their stories. They come up with one idea, and they think that is good enough to tell a story, which can be problematic because they run out of things to talk about. And I feel that a good novel has a lot of different elements that are enhancing one another. For example, the first Mistborn novel, if we look at the ideas that gave me the plot, It was a mixture of this desire to tell a heist story, but another part of it was my love of fantasy novels. And a lot of fantasy novels follow the same archetype. It's about a young hero from an unknown city or place who discovers they have a noble heritage, who goes on this, you know, quest to defeat the Dark Lord. It's the story of Harry Potter. It's the story of Star Wars. It's the story in the Wheel of Time, which I love. And a lot of these stories are fantastic, and that's type of story had been explored so much, I was actually watching the Lord of the Rings movies and thinking how they fit the heroic archetype as well, and thinking, man, the same, you know, same stories being told so many times. What would happen if this Dark Lord, this evil emperor at the end, won? What if Frodo got to the end of Lord of the Rings and Sauron said, oh, thanks for my ring, I've been looking for that, and then killed him and took over the world, right? And that was one of those seeds of idea that was in the back of my mind. I didn't write that book because that was just one idea, and that one idea on its own wasn't enough for a story. In fact, I realized that one idea was a little bit boring because the Dark Lord winning sounds cool, but if you wrote an entire book and then had the Dark Lord win, it would actually be a real downer of a book. It'd be pretty depressing. And so that story, that concept just stayed in my head until eventually I decided I wanted to do a story where that was the history of the world, where the hero had failed to save mankind, where the prophecies had been wrong, where evil won, and now in this terrible world, I inserted this gang of thieves who are going to rob the Dark Lord. And the reason these ideas worked so well for me is that it allowed my thieving crew pulling a heist to actually be doing something very noble and also larger than just, you know, stealing one item, which is a great story for a film, but I don't feel would carry a book of the length I wanted to write. There needed to be more, and so it allowed it to go up an epic scope. They were robbing the emperor. They were actually trying to overthrow the empire through this robbery, and that expanded the story. And so you can see how a couple of ideas working together can create great expansion. And so I try very hard to put a lot of different elements in. A good novel, I feel, has elements of humor and elements of drama and passion. And it has elements of romance. It has elements of mystery, action, excitement. And a great novel can run the spectrum of all of these things and put them together in one story.
To end of interviews, we have a special question. If you had a choice between ubiquity ability or to live eternally, what would you choose?
What was the first choice?
To be ubiquitous. It's to have the ability to be at different places at the same time.
Oh, different places at the same time, or immortality?
Yeah.
I think I would go for immortality because it would allow me to... The only way for me to tell all the stories that I want to tell would be to be immortal, because I have way too many that I want to tell, and I'm afraid I'm not going to be able to get to them all. So I would take that one so I could write more books.
A last word, maybe in French, if you know some?
Well, this is going to get me in trouble. I actually asked for a good French phrase to say, and my editor taught me, ma grand-mère fait du parachute. Yes, oui, very important. I believe it means, where is the train station, right? Oh, now she's so embarrassed. Thank you very much for the interview, and it was wonderful, and I hope you guys all out there read the books and enjoy them. Third book is out in April of 2011.